I found this movie on YouTube. It's a horror film from 1958. It's called The Thing That Couldn't Die. It's one of those black and white films with a lot of over-the-top screaming. In one scene, there's a young woman named Jessica. She's walking around in a field like she's looking for something. She's being followed by some men carrying shovels. She's holding a forked stick with a piece of it in each hand like she's about to pull apart a wishbone. The stick appears to be guiding her steps. She stops, and very slowly, the end of the stick points straight to the ground, and the men start digging. But then, Jessica suddenly has a very bad feeling. She warns the diggers to stop.
No! Don't dig here. There's something evil down there.
Too late. Did they not hear the scary music? I don't want to give too much away, but what they find underground is not water for a well. It's a box filled with mysterious and menacing human remains. It's believed by some that, like Jessica, certain people have an innate and perhaps supernatural ability.
Have you heard of water witching?
No.
So it is a thing that you're born with, and they would take sticks, and if you to find water for a well, if you were blessed with the ability to conduct water, when if you held the sticks and you walked near water, the sticks would turn where the water was flowing underground. Apparently, the same ability also works for finding dead people.
Water witching, and how two WPLN interns stumbled into the mysterious practice that some believe can locate bodies buried underground. That's where we're headed. From Nashville Public Radio, this is the Halloween edition of Curious Nashville, where we answer your questions about the city. I'm Mac Linebaugh. Okay, full disclosure, we're breaking from format in this episode because no, a listener did not ask us about water witching. We just got distracted by it. The question we did receive was about Nashville's oldest structures. So we went to talk to some people. People like Nancy Mannon.
So Chimney to Chimney is original from my research, built in 1798 by Thomas McCrory and his wife Rachel.
It's a log house that straddles what is now the border of Davidson and Williamson counties on Old Hickory Boulevard. And to hear her tell it, it was love at first sight.
I literally walked in the front door. I took one look down at the floors. I took one look in at the bookcases. I went, okay. I mean, it just had this piece about it. I mean, I want to sit here in this room with the fire going and read Louisa May Alcott. I mean, and I'm not even a little woman. I mean, I feel I want to have lemonade with Andrew Jackson. I mean, it just... it has this really good vibe.
We sent two interns, Douglas Corzine and Madeline Goetz, to have these conversations. And somehow, like you do in an old house, I guess, they always ended up talking about ghosts.
Do you think the house is haunted?
I do not think it's haunted. Or I know that there's good haunting and bad haunting. I will tell you that if it is haunted, it is nothing but good energy. Nothing creepy, no sounds. So it just... it may be, but if it is like nothing but good. One of my best friends from college, her nephew, is a water witch. A beautiful graduate of Clemson University, but he's a water witch.
Nancy's friend invited her nephew to walk the graveyard out back when he came home for Christmas break. He wandered around, holding his two sticks out in front of him, and as if by magic, they started to move.
So we knew of the two bodies, Joel and Irene Mayfield, were buried back there, and we found six other graves.
I don't like to use the word haunted.
Just a few miles to the northeast and tucked in a suburban Antioch neighborhood, there's a tall brick house surrounded by magnolias. It's called Locust Hill, and it was built around 1800. Its current resident, Greg Estes, also felt drawn to it from the start.
I'd always heard about it and read about it. So I came here wanting to see it personally, first of all, and I couldn't sleep for 2 days after I came here. I think it's meant to be.
And like with Nancy, the conversation turned toward the supernatural when Greg started telling Douglas and Madeline about children buried in the property cemetery. Back in the 19th century, when family cemeteries were common, people had a lot more kids, and medical care had a long way to go. And according to Greg, the spirits of these children, they're still around.
So there's a lot of young children out there, and they kind of like to play in the house sometimes too. I never really knew if I believed in a spiritual realm, so to speak, still existing after one passes on earth, but after I moved in, yeah, there were certain things that would happen and other people would notice, and I'm definitely a believer now. They've converted me, I guess.
Greg knows about several graves on his property, but he believes there are more. Maybe even some under his neighbor's yard.
Well, I think there's a lot more that are not marked too, that this stone's got moved or vandalized over time.
Have you ever thought about having the site water witched?
Yes, the site has been water witched, so to speak. Yeah, I had an old school dowler come here. He was like 70, and he had been doing it since a teenager, and I didn't believe in that either. He says there are some graves here that aren't marked, and that makes sense. He's like, oh no, there's something here. There's a void right here, I can tell. So it was very interesting. I believed after he came.
Greg's talking about dowsing. It's another word for water witching. We've also heard divining. Apparently there are a lot of names for this. A United States Geological Survey report from 1917 dates the practice to 16th century Germany, where miners used it to find buried metal ore. None of us had ever heard of water witching for unmarked graves, and we were all surprised that it came up at two separate Nashville homes on the same day. Our interns, Madeline and Douglas, were so struck by it, they wanted to know more.
We were really intrigued by the idea that maybe two metal rods could uncover human remains. But we thought we should check in with an expert, somebody who was used to finding bodies underground. That's where Larry Wilmore came in.
Usually you have, the way I've seen it done is two pieces of coat hanger. You just kind of have them parallel and you walk across an area and you try to see if they start to move or not on their own. And as you cross over buried features, supposedly they're going to go out of parallel without you actually touching them.
Larry's a Stanford-educated archaeologist who's worked in Nashville for almost 30 years. He's worked on several projects that uncovered unmarked graves.
When we met up with Larry at the Nashville City Cemetery, he told us about several ways to find bodies, including high-tech methods like ground-penetrating radar and solar resistivity measurements. But those can cost tens of thousands of dollars.
Water witching is a cheaper alternative, and Larry says some of his trusted colleagues swear by it. He tried it once, and although he doesn't have the talent or the faith to make the method work its magic, he says it's enchanting to watch.
It sort of seems a little bit like watching somebody do a Ouija board, maybe, It's like, are you pushing that, or are the spirits pushing it? So.
Talking to Larry hadn't satisfied our interest in the process of dowsing, so we needed to find a real water witch, Gary Hoffman, a dowser we found at a website called Cosmic Connections.
I learned dowsing from a fairly well-known dowser named Slim Sperling, who's no longer alive now, but he taught me how to find different types of earth energies in the ground.
Once we got in touch with Gary, we arranged to meet with him for a demonstration, again at the Nashville City Cemetery. Talking to Larry Wilmore had given us a pretty good idea about where to find unmarked graves.
So we asked our dowser, Gary Hoffman, to help us look for bodies near the fence on the south side of the cemetery. When we got there, he insisted that we start by joining him in blessing the site, tossing tobacco into the wind.
So, Creator of all life, thank you for this beautiful day. And we would like to ask that myself, and Douglas and Madeline, that we be charged and blessed with your divine energy. And that divine energy flows through us today.
After praying, he demonstrated for us, using various types of dowsing rods to find underground water and unmarked graves.
We wanted to believe him.
We really did. We really, truly did.
Maybe, like Larry Wilmore, we just didn't have enough faith.
Maybe I felt something, but I honestly think I just felt what I expected to feel. I got pulled into the hype.
For the most part, I just felt uncomfortable.
Larry Wilmore understands the uneasiness of interacting with unmarked graves. As an archaeologist, he does it all the time. And even if he doesn't believe in water witching, Larry says uncovering graves still sends a shiver down his spine.
I have had some pretty awful nightmares after moving graveyards, so certainly if it's not that spirit, it's my spirit that seems to be affected.
So, does water witching really work? Who knows? Fortunately, no one actually asks us that. What we find fascinating is that the tradition continues to be passed down, and it's practiced right here in Middle Tennessee. Water witching for buried bodies lives on. Curious Nashville was produced by Douglas Corzine, Madeline Goetz, and me, edited by Emily Siner, Blake Farmer, and Anita Bug. Music in this episode is from Poddington Bear. If you're looking for more spooky podcasts, check out the episode of Neighbors about Rosa Mary Dean, a woman murdered in Franklin, Tennessee in 1949.
The police asked the Beatties if Rosa Mary Dean ever said anything that might be relevant to her murder. They said that she once told them if she ever needed money, she knew exactly where to get it.
You can find Neighbors on your favorite podcasting app or at WPLN.org. And let us know what you want Curious Nashville to investigate next. Submit your question at curious.wpln.org. I'm Mac Linebaugh, and this is Nashville Public Radio.